Morning to each of you. It's amazing to get used to a new angle and a new perspective. You got a whole lot of new things to get used to fast and keep your thoughts and wits about you. So that's where I'm at right now. But the last verse of the song we sang about the Lord it is that strengthens us. That's very true right now. And Janine had commented earlier in the week about, I don't think she's ever heard me talk for half an hour straight at one time. I was like, no, I don't think so. And it is one that is the calling calls for it, and the Holy Spirit will enable that to be done. So here I am. But they, whether good or bad, we had some sickness come through our house toward the end of the week, so they're kind of still getting over that, the boys and her a little bit too. So that's where they're at this morning. If I invite you to turn to Proverbs chapter 2 a while. As I was just giving thought to what to share, I just was drawn to speak something from Proverbs and concerning wisdom, and I landed here in chapter 2. Certainly, what I have to share will not exhaust what can be said about wisdom or the passage and verses here that we'll look at. But it's a start, and just in my studying and looking, it's what I was impressed with. So we'll go with there. There's never really been a time in history of God's people when the need for wisdom was not great. There's always been a high need for that, and it serves everyone. Proverbs in chapter 1, verse 4 says to the young that wisdom gives knowledge and discretion. And then chapter 9, verse 9, it says, to instruct the wise, and the wise will become wiser still. So it's for everyone, regardless of your stage of life. Something it seems as I was looking a little bit with Proverbs and being more of in the wisdom literature and more of a poetic book, sometimes it seems a little tricky to know where to read and what to read from because there's a lot of repetition. It states ideas here, and then it restates it over here, and it says it again in a lot of different places, and you wonder where to go, but that's just the nature of it. But in chapter 2, we'll read the text at this point, and we'll proceed from there. So chapter 2, 1 to 9, and then chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom out of his mouth. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Then shall you understand righteousness and judgment and equity in every good path. When wisdom enters, stop at verse 9 and over to chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. I'll have three main points. One may have a little more comments than others, but three main points this morning pertaining to wisdom. One is the search, the source, and the safeguarding. So in chapter 2, in the beginning there in verse 1, It begins, like many others in the books of Proverbs, if you read through it, with my son as the opening statement. It's kind of a personal address to whoever is reading it. And as Solomon is the author for most of the book of Proverbs, it's very natural to assume that he had his own sons in mind, perhaps, while he was writing these things. It's natural when you become a parent, you know the importance of passing on important lessons to your children. It's quite likely maybe he had this in mind, knowing that someday when his life would be over, his sons maybe would be reading this. But regardless, and Solomon too himself experienced this, particularly just prior to when his father David had died. If you go back into the Kings, First Kings, David had words specifically for Solomon. But we as the reader, as we come to it and read here, we sense as the reader care that comes from somewhat of a parental and spiritual figure. And even though we're not the physical offspring to Solomon, we do still receive these words that's written from our Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit, that he is talking to you and he is talking to us, sons and daughters of his. The exhortation that we see here in turning ourselves to wisdom is in verse 2, it says to incline your ear, prick up your ears, almost literally, is what. And I think of the image and picture, if you're around animals a lot, and when animals hear a noise or something that is new to them or something maybe that especially sounds dangerous or concerning to them, their ears just kind of perk up and they're more alert and they're turning to what is getting their attention. And that seems the image that I get here when he's saying in writing that there's something here that you need to listen to. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 20 portrays in the picture an image of wisdom utters her voice in the streets. And I see that idea here about paying close attention to what is being said. You don't want to miss this. Give your undivided attention. So we get and sense the call of the need for wisdom. And I'm not going to split a lot of hairs in defining terms or going through words necessarily this morning, but just kind of get a general thrust and the general message here. But we sense the need and call for wisdom. And if you want it, you need to take action to get it. And that brings us to the first point in pertaining to wisdom that we see here, and that is the search in verses 3 and 4. It says, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, there's this action that's taking place. It's implied here that acquiring wisdom is not necessarily automatic. It doesn't just fall into our lap. We get the impression and the indication that it's saying here that there's a responsibility on our part to pursue it. And why should we pursue it? What's it worth it to us? And that's because of the value that we see that is given to it. And when we recognize wisdom's true worth in our lives, that will be the inspiration for our going after it. Verse 4 says to seek for her. She's personified as a woman, but for wisdom, it says, seek for wisdom as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. You hear, if some of you are into history or reading stories, whether they're fiction or not, but especially from longer ago, you tales of hidden treasures and myths and things like that, and people go off all into this, and just they're all about that, searching for this and trying to find the cachet, I think is how you term that word, of the hidden stash. And they study maps, and they talk to this person and that person, and they go here, and they research, and they go, and they dig, and it's kind of the impression we get here in looking for wisdom. It's not just going to automatically come to you necessarily, but it takes some going after and pursuit. And it's worth doing that because Proverbs here accredits a lot of much value to wisdom. It's like people pursuing after riches. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15 says, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you can desire are not to be compared unto her. So the writer is saying that we need to understand that wisdom is much more profitable to us than silver or money or riches. The dividends that wisdom gives to us is much superior to that than what money could ever do. It's one of the things that we're getting here as we read. It's kind of like in the same line of thought where Jesus said it's those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, they're the ones that will be filled if they have that desire for it. Do you find yourself wanting wisdom in this way? Do you think about that and see the value that it offers to give you insight and direction in your life? That's the place where we're left with in those couple of verses. So if you're looking for it and one is to look for something, you know, want to know where to find it, naturally. And generally speaking, we see that very simply stated in verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. It comes from God himself, Solomon says. There was a preacher, I'm not sure when he lived, it was in the 1900s sometime, Vance Havner was his name, and some may have be familiar with him, but he had said once, if you want knowledge, you go to school, and if you want wisdom, you get on your knees. And that's where we find it, coming to God, who is the source of it, the ultimate source of it. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. It's important to go to the right place and looking for what we're searching for. Now, I know wisdom is a broad term, and there's a lot of ways you can define it. And like I said, I'm not necessarily going to elaborate too much on that, but kind of just going and get a general feel for the term. But one definition that I had come across, and we'll state here, says the ability to judge a situation correctly, to follow the best course of action based on what one understands, including the risks involved and the results of the choice. And that was a good kind of all-encompassing definition of that. It's not necessarily spiritual in nature, but it defines some of the aspects of being wise and wisdom. And I want to look at there's a number of ways, like we said, that wisdom can be demonstrated. Like I said, it is kind of a very broad topic or realm, and when you say that, you know, you can kind of go different places with that. And there's a few ways and places where we see wisdom given or demonstrated in the Old Testament in different contexts. So we'll just look briefly at those three. We're not going to turn there to them. Three examples from the Old Testament. One was in Genesis chapter 41, where Pharaoh had a dream, and he was troubled because he wanted to know what it meant. And he was disturbed, and so he called, as it says, he called for the wise men of Egypt and the magicians of Egypt to come to help him interpret the dream. In that setting, in that context, wise men, certainly men of very high education, whether it was related to the magicians and sorcery, it's possible, not necessarily, but at any rate, the application and demonstration of wisdom there was interpreting a dream. It's also noteworthy that they who were described as wise men were very likely not godly men. So there was a distinguishing factor there that they were attributed with being wise with their head knowledge in a way, but they were not godly men, likely. The other account in Exodus chapter 31, God is speaking to Moses concerning the construction and the building of the tabernacle. And this is the Lord speaking from Exodus 31. It says, and I, behold, I have given him, that is Bezalel, if you remember the man Bezalel, I have given with him Aholiab, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. So in this instance and case, wisdom demonstrated and applied was more of a skill, working with your hands. They had an ability in carpentry or in precious metals. There are others, like women, who had that ability with fabrics and doing that kind of thing. That was another demonstration of wisdom. And yet, last one yet that I have written, we'll share at least, is from Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 13 and 15. They were looking for more men to help with the people of Israel in ruling, not necessarily ruling, but judging the people when the cases would come. And it says, take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. This specific context has more of the idea of being able to judge and make those kinds of decisions. And that is also, too, what Solomon, when he, the use of his wisdom a lot when he was asking, he was coming to a place where he was going to rule and govern the people, and he needed the specific wisdom to do that and to judge the cases. Those are just some different areas and examples I've seen of wisdom from the Old Testament in the different contexts that they can be in. And the realm of wisdom does and can encompass these things. But it's just time to get your thought and get an idea of the different ways that it can show itself and be used. But now coming back to Proverbs, I'd like to look a little bit more at the context in Proverbs here and see, as we read a little bit more in some of the surrounding chapters a little bit, if the writer indicates what this might look like here specifically, or if we get any more indication or anything more specifics. Much of the earlier chapters in Proverbs, starting at 1 through at least chapter 9, describe just wisdom in general and the value of wisdom and how it can protect you and it will serve you well if you have it. But looking a little bit here from some around chapter 2 outside of what we read for our main verses today, we'll look at chapter 1 here and read verses 10 through 14. He says again, "My son, if sinners entice you, consent thou not. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole, and as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse.'" I do 15, "Yet, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain your foot from their path." I think the essence in these verses is, we can see in verse 10, is, "My son, if sinners entice you, don't consent to them. Don't give in. Wisdom is trying to tell you, don't give in to temptation, because it will take you to a place where maybe you don't see right now." I see that as the essence here in this area in Proverbs, where wisdom is specifically necessary. Now, the actions there in those verses of 10 through 15 are very extreme. I'm sure none of us certainly hope are not anywhere in that place, but the temptation where we're talking about, it was murder, and murder for the point of getting the plunder, basically, taking advantage of innocent people and overcoming them so you can get their money and benefit yourself. And those are some pretty extreme actions. But the point, I think, in the concept there, we can see it's in verse 10. If you're tempted by not necessarily sinners, people, but sin in general, if that is tempting you, don't do it. And that's the call that wisdom gives us. Later on, we won't read them, but further on down, verses 15 through 18, it talks about the end and how the people who do these kinds of evil actions, what their end is. It is not a good ending. So we're talking about moral choices. I think that's something that I see here in the context. Moral choices. Another example in chapter 5, if you care to turn, we'll read just a few verses there. We see the same similar idea in chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. It's temptation again. "My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that you may regard discretion and that your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death." This, again, is more of temptation. And in chapter 7 has more of the nature of sexual sin. But there again, I think we see it's the temptation that pulling us into sin. And as it were, the picture is wisdom calling out and saying, don't do it. It's going to end in a bad place. And if you are, what's the word Proverbs uses sometimes, if you are simple, if you don't understand that, you'll be pulled in and taken down that road to a very bad ending. And we know the allure from temptation is strong and the reward and the experience seems worth it, but the end of such a path is not good. So in a sense, if you go back to that general definition, you know, the ability to judge a situation, to follow the best course of action based on what you know, and including the risks involved and the results of the choice. Wisdom enables us to see through the murky temptation or that cloudy situation and then identify and see the end picture of where we'll end up because of those choices. There was something interesting as I was studying. I debated on how to go about it necessarily, but there's reading a word study in some of this from the original Hebrew word. That does not mean I read Hebrew. It's just saying there was a study on the word from the Hebrew word for wisdom. And I'm not going to go into like linguistics and all that kind of stuff, but just the point that came from it. The word for wisdom in the original Hebrew language, from what I was studying in the physical realm, had to do with the idea of separating. And I thought it was interesting, but that was the action that it conveys with the word for wisdom. And you know, so we're thinking, how is this related to wisdom, the action of separating? And you know, it really, when you look at these things, wisdom, the concept of wisdom has to do with separating, the ability to separate the good from the bad. When you're seeing situations and when you're confronted and presented with life, whether it's temptation specifically or just decisions and choices, it's being able to separate good from the bad. And to, if it is temptation, to be able to see it as such and to distinguish that which is right from that which is sinful. Or if simply, like I said, if we just have choices to make, we all want to make good choices, we want to make sound decisions, right? And we don't want to be one who's known for just happy-go-lucky and do that. Or even thinking back to what Rick Rhodes had talked about a time or two when he was here with us, talked about with trying the spirits, you know, determining if something is of God. How do we sort through? How do you separate out all of the pieces? And it might come to us in a good-looking package, you know, if you can call it like that. But can you see through and sort through and separate out the pieces and seeing what each is for its own thing and where that will take you? I think that's the demonstration of wisdom that we can see here in this context, in one of them here in Proverbs, in the early chapters. We need to recognize that certain actions will have specific results and certain consequences. And I think it comes down to making choices that pleases God. We're talking about, especially in relation to sin, but in thinking about the word knowledge, knowledge is, you know, something you have usually by an understanding or an experience on an intimate level or a close level. And if the source of wisdom is from God, do we have the appropriate and proper, adequate knowledge of God? Do we really know Him? You know, the idea of knowing is it's personal and it's close, and we say and we use the general terms of, you know, we know so-and-so or we know this or that, when really maybe we just mean we're aware of that person. We don't really know them very well, but we're aware of them. A knowing is a more personal and intimate relationship and knowing. In Genesis chapter 18, God said about Abraham that I know him, meaning that there is a close, ongoing connection between God and Abraham. We come to know God through dwelling with him. Most intimate revelation of God that shows who he is and what he desires is really in the Bible, in his word that we have. And I think that is one of the best and surest ways of drawing wisdom, knowing where the source is from. It's not necessarily really, it's not a mystical exchange. It's walking closely in an open relationship with him who gives wisdom and understanding and knowing what his will is, helping us sort through the encounters that we have in life and temptation at times. The last point yet that we have pertaining to wisdom is what I call the safeguarding. We found that in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. We get the picture here that just as we pursued and found wisdom, we can lose it too. It says, don't forget. And that implies maybe somewhat of an unintentional losing, but then it restates it again in verse 6, don't forsake. And that indicates maybe a more deliberate action of turning your back on what you know you should. I think it's important to be careful of the danger of coming to a place where we think that once we have made a good choice or a few good choices and wise choices that we kind of, I would say, let our guard down, but we just think it'll stay with me, it'll stick with me. We get the impression here that's not the case, and when you let your guard down, sometimes that's when it can go from you quickest. It takes our part to guard it, to keep it. It talks about loving wisdom. Do you have an appreciation for that as you consider it? Back to chapter 2 a little bit here yet. You know, we can have the right answers and you can know the right thing to do and the right action to take. In verse 2 of chapter 2 is an important word that says about applying your heart to understanding. If you can have the answers, but if you don't apply them or actually do it in the right way, you're not really exercising the wisdom you have. So it does take action. You can have it in your head, but are you doing it, actually doing and applying what you have? This is an important thing to remember. So as we walk closely with the Lord, you know, he will reveal to us and show us the ways to go. In verse 9 there at the end, it speaks of, uses the phrase of every good path. It says, you will understand righteousness. It's like right and wrong in essence, and judgment and equity, and then every good path. You'll be able to see and identify that. Are you walking closely with the Lord, drawing from the source of wisdom that he has spoken from his mouth that we have penned and written for us today? It's always important to remember, I do as well, as we encounter situations and opportunities and everything that life brings our way, that our choices give direction. And that thought there in verse 9 about every good path, it will illumine that to you, what is a good path and the way that you should go. It gives the idea of thinking in trajectories. Wisdom, when applied and sorting through and separating out the pieces of this and that and seeing the end picture of where will you end up with that, where will that take you, is an important element that wisdom supplies us with. So that's what I have to leave from you. Proverbs, like I said, is not exhaustive, but just to get our thoughts generally speaking about the search for wisdom. Is it something that's on your mind and looking for it? And it's the source of wisdom. Are you looking in the right place for it? God is the one who gives. Ultimately, it comes from him. And the safeguarding, don't let your guard down and lose the pursuit of wisdom and the love for wisdom and searching after that. It will serve as well, as Proverbs says, and it will guard you and keep you and protect you as you walk through life. So with those thoughts in mind, let's kneel for those who are able. Let's kneel for prayer.